Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, good morning, church family. So first thing I need to do is I need to say a big thank you to Pastor Ronald. You probably don't know this, but he got called in to play last week right at the last minute. I mean, I called him at about 11 o'clock on Saturday, last Saturday, and asked him to fill in so that you guys could have the prayer and worship time last week, and I'm just grateful for him. So thank you, Pastor Ronald, for filling in for that. I will say this. I was really grateful. My daughter, Michaela, she recorded it for me, so I got to listen to that whole thing, and I was so moved. It just seems like God was here and that he was moving, and so many of you, I just was listening and hearing what you were saying, and I could tell that God had just been doing some stuff in your heart, and I'm so grateful for that. So for Ronald to be here to shepherd that moment was super, super important, and I'm really grateful for that. But I also want to say thank you to you guys, because this last week, you guys have fed my family, you've called my family, you've texted my family, and I just want to say thank you so much. In this season, that is one of the most difficult seasons I've probably experienced, I am so grateful for a church family that loves us the way that you guys have. So I just want to say thank you for that. It's actually kind of ironic because as we've experienced that love this week through the grief that we've experienced, it kind of leads us really well into this next series that we're going to be talking about, because we're starting a new series this morning called Love Thy Neighbor. And I would say this, if you could boil Christianity down to just one word, I mean, if you were able to define it, there is only one word that can, and that's the word love. Love is how we define Christianity. Now, as those who follow Jesus, we seek to love others all throughout. Every single relationship that we have, we're seeking to love others the way that Jesus has loved us. And this means that as we'll see over these next few weeks, we're going to kind of go through these different people, but that we're learning to love our other brothers and sisters in Christ, those both within this church and within other churches who profess the name, like we talked about a minute ago during communion. It also means that we're learning to love our neighbors, those who live around us, who maybe we have a relationship with and we're growing in relationship with, but we can tell that maybe they don't have a relationship with Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is. It means that we're learning to love our enemies. That's a hard one, but that's what Jesus calls us to. And then finally, loving our family. So we're going to talk about those things over these next few weeks. But this morning, if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn to John chapter 13. We're going to begin reading in verse 31, John chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the seat back in front of you. You're more than welcome to grab that one. But we're going to be in the Gospel of John chapter 13, beginning in verse 31.
When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times."
Thank you, ma'am. So at the beginning here of John chapter 13, Jesus is preparing the disciples for his last mission as he's about to take on the cross. See, Jesus knows that the culmination of his ministry has led to this exact moment. See, his confrontation of the status quo has troubled the religious leadership who have now set in motion a trap to have Jesus killed using one of Jesus' own disciples. And even with all that on the horizon, undeniably known by Jesus himself, what does he do? Well, John tells us that with all that quickly approaching, all of that about to take place just in the next few hours, Jesus takes time to remember the Passover. And he shares a meal together with his disciples. Yet before he even takes that meal, he does the unimaginable. He takes off his robe, grabs a basin of water and a towel, and begins to wash the disciples' feet, a job that's traditionally reserved for the lowest servant in the house. But Jesus gets down, and he begins to fulfill that responsibility. There's a question here. How many of us, knowing that we had just a few hours before we would be arrested and taken and judged, how many of us would be serving others and eating dinner with some friends? Absolutely not, right? We would be hightailing it out of Dodge. We would be getting as far away as we could. So it's no wonder that the disciples are absolutely shocked and perplexed at what Jesus is doing. Some of them are even speechless. Some, on the other hand, Peter, are not, okay? But after Jesus excuses Judas, the man who's going to betray him, he turns to the disciples and he gives them this one last command. This last will and testament right before the cross. And most of you know that I lost my father a little over a week ago. And as we were searching through his will, we came across kind of his last wishes for the memorial that he would have for himself. You know, usually there's a preferred pastor or a speaker, maybe a couple of songs that'll be sung by the church. Well, as we looked through it, my dad had asked for my brother John to speak. My brother John is actually an incredible speechwriter, just so you know that. He's probably the better one of the two of us in speaking, so just know that, okay? It's okay, I wasn't offended. I absolutely would have picked John too, all right? But we looked over the songs, and of course the two that Dad chose were very familiar to us, songs that we as a family have always loved. But beside one of those songs, in parentheses, it said, James. So my brother quickly looked over and goes, well, guess, James, you're singing that song. Listen, whether it's in a will or just in a person's last few words before they pass, there's this feeling that we have about how serious those words are. We feel the weight of that. They carry such a deeper weight than most of the other words that we think about with people. So what Jesus says here, his last command before he's about to be arrested and tried, beaten, and eventually die on the cross, they carry deep significance for us as Christians. So the question is, what does he say? What is his last command? Love one another. Love one another. So knowing that this is his last command, his last will and testament, that last words before he's about to go to the cross, let's just spend a few minutes breaking this down and what this looks like, what this means. So the first thing that we need to see in this command by Jesus is who Jesus is talking about when he says, love one another. Now listen, like we said a minute ago, as followers of Jesus, we are definitely commanded to love everyone. And we're going to see that through the rest of these next few weeks. But right here, Jesus is telling his disciples that our primary love, the love that should be first importance when it comes to us loving people, is that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the first thing that he says. Look at verse 35. It kind of helps clarify that. Because Jesus says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So within this community right here, as those who have professed the name of Jesus, those who have claimed to follow him, Jesus is declaring to us that we love each other. And we talk about this a lot at Community Fellowship. But we believe that we're more than just friends that are getting together for some good music and a message. We believe that, you know, truthfully, we believe that we're more than even just a church. We believe we are a family. That's what we believe to the core of who we are at Community Fellowship, that we're a family. And I wonder if you've ever thought about this. Have you ever thought about what makes a family different than any other social institution? Have you thought about that? Like, what makes a family different than a gaming club? Or what makes a family different than a workout group? Or what makes a family different than a governmental organization? No slide remarks right now, okay? We don't need any slide remarks right now, okay? The biggest difference that I can think of is that family doesn't choose whether they want to be in the family or not. They don't get to choose that. They're born into it. They're born into it. So here's the thing. You and I have been born again into Christ and into his family. That means that the minute a person professes the name of Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, they're now included into God's family, which is our family. We don't get to choose it. We don't get to choose it. We're born into it. And as part of that family, Jesus commands that we love each other. And here's what that means. That means that if you're upset with someone in this room because they've offended you or they've hurt someone else that you love, your responsibility to the command of Jesus right here is to go to them in love and talk to them about that hurt, the hurt that you're feeling. It doesn't mean that you just get to avoid them because you don't like them. That's not love. That's selfishness. That's letting yourself feel more comfortable because you don't have to do the hard work of actually loving them. Love is hard. Love is work. My personal favorite when it comes to the love idioms is the one from Princess Bride, where Wesley says, "Love is pain. Anyone who says differently is selling something." What I'm not saying here is I'm not saying that you just start making accusations against them, that you go to them and you start making accusations. No, Jesus lays out for us in Matthew 5, Matthew 18, exactly how we're supposed to address it when we're hurt by a brother and sister in Christ. But we're supposed to take the initiative to begin trying to heal that relationship because that is what love would do. Love would go to that brother or sister and mend that relationship. And I want you to hear what I'm about to say next. Please catch this. Because Jesus doesn't give us an option here. You don't get to say, "It's okay, I'm not going to do that." That's not the option. That's not the option. Because here's what I think happens a lot of times, right? We think, well, they said something to me that hurt me or the person that I love, so obviously they don't really know Jesus. They're not even a Christian, so I'm just going to stay away from them. Or we say something like, "Well, that person's just generally grouchy all the time. I'm not going to say hi to them. They're just going to give me some weird thing back, and I don't want that." And then there's others of us in the room that we say, "I'm not going to deal with trying to resolve that because that's not my issue. That's their issue. That's not my business. That's their business. I am not my brother's keeper." I'm sorry to share this with you, but Jesus doesn't give that to you as a caveat. In fact, you might remember that in the very beginning, there were two brothers. And God got really angry when that one brother said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Here's why this is so important for us to catch. Because when we choose to avoid someone instead of engaging with them, you might be robbing them of the Holy Spirit's working in their life to become more like Jesus. So you not taking the initiative when you feel hurt to go and talk to that person to resolve that, you might actually be robbing them of experiencing the Holy Spirit working in their life to make them more like our Savior. Again, I'm not saying that we knock down doors and we go in guns blazing. I'm not. But what our culture is absolutely horrible at is knowing how to lovingly confront someone when they're out of line, or when they've offended us. As those who are followers of Jesus, we have to be different. Our love for one another has to be different. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus says here in John. He defines for the disciples a little bit further what this kind of love that he's commanding us into should look like. Look what he says in verse 34. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So the love that Jesus is demanding that we have for everyone else in the church is the same kind of love that Jesus has for us. It's the same kind of love that would make him willingly lay down his life for us on the cross. In the Greek, this word that Jesus uses here in the New Testament and the word that's used throughout the New Testament for God's love is agape. Agape love. And it's not merely an ideal. It's not merely a feeling. It's so much more than that. Agape love is a commitment toward the one being loved. I am committed to you. It's an act of the will on the benefit of the one being loved. I am working towards your best, not my comfort, not my preferences, not the way I feel, but your best because I love you. That's the kind of love we're talking about. This is agape love. My favorite quote for this kind of love actually comes from the children's Bible, the Jesus Storybook Bible. By the way, I recommend if you don't have that you grab that. Such a great book. Even for adults, it's a really good book. But here's the way she defines love. She says, God's love is a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And that's how Jesus says that we are supposed to love one another. We don't stop loving someone just because they made me mad or they hurt my feelings. We don't give up on them because they're rough around the edges and they don't see things the way that I do. We don't break up with them because we're not seeing eye to eye on everything. It's always and forever. This is the love that those who call themselves a disciple of Jesus are supposed to love other brothers and sisters with. That's how we're supposed to love one another. So hear me this morning. This is the kind of love that I desperately want us to fight for. Listen, I have been a part of so many churches, and it's sad to say this, where I've seen someone get hurt, someone be offended, and they walk away from that church. I do not want that. I want us to fight for this kind of love with one another. It's what I deeply, deeply desire. And the reason is because this is why Jesus died, so that we could have this kind of love for one another. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Rome. But God demonstrates his own love, again, the word agape, for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when God had been offended by his people, affronted by our sin, he didn't pack up his bags, call it quits, and go home. No, he laid down his life. He gave up his life. And that's the kind of love that Jesus is demanding of us, a self-sacrificing, lay it all down kind of love for others. I love what the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said about this. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the call that Jesus gives us. But we're to love our fellow Christians as Christ loved us. Look at the difference. And then he says, and that's far more than we love ourselves. Powerful. Because that kind of love doesn't hold my own opinions, my own desires, my own hurts above a brother or sister in Christ. It just doesn't. And listen, what Paul said there in Romans, he's pointing out something. Agape love is always shown by what it does. By what it does. Our good intentions and our sentimental thoughts are not agape love. What we do shows how we love like Christ. What we do. And it's not just to our brothers and sisters that they see that kind of love. It's those even outside the church that see that love and they're attracted to it. Because that kind of love distinguishes us as followers of Jesus. In the second century, there was a church leader and defender of the faith named Tertullian. And he wrote an appeal to the Roman leadership who had become very suspicious of the growth and the spread of Christianity. All sorts of accusations had been made about Christians as they were gathering together regularly to eat food and pray with one another. In fact, Tertullian wrote that it was because of this kind of genuine love and care for one another that many of the Romans were actually jealous of those in the church. He said, quote, "It's mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See how they love one another, they say, for they themselves are animated by mutual hatred. How they're ready to even die for one another, they say, for they themselves will sooner put to death." Can you imagine a love like that? A love where the church loves each other so deeply that the outside world is jealous of our love for one another. But that's exactly what Jesus tells us is supposed to happen. Look back again at verse 35. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Okay, so here's what we need to do first. We need to first understand what Jesus is not saying. Okay? Because Jesus is not saying, they will know you're my disciples by your Christian t-shirts. He doesn't say that. They'll know you're my disciples by your scripture memes on social media. They'll know you're my disciples by your political affiliation. That's not what he says. Jesus says people will know you are actually in a relationship with the living God by the way that you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Not the truth that we proclaim, not the songs that we sing, how we love one another. That demonstrates Jesus' own love to those who do not know him, the lost. Because listen, if we don't get it right in here together, how are we supposed to love each other? How in the world do we think that we're going to be able to love those out there? How in the world do we think that? If we don't understand that the other people that are in this church who have professed the name of Jesus, who have recognized the sacrifice that was made for them by him on our behalf, who are trying to live for him, if we can't love them, how in the world are we going to go out to the world who does not understand the love of God? People who are so filled with spite and hate and anger. How in the world are we going to be able to love them if we can't even love our brothers and sisters in here? This is what we're called to, church. This is what we're called to. Listen, maybe that's actually what brought you into this building this morning. You've watched how a friend or a family member, they have changed. You've seen that. They've become such a different person. They're not the same person that they used to be because they've experienced Jesus' love. I'm going to tell you something right now. They are not conjuring that up in their own effort. That love has not been conjured up in their own effort. It's not because they're trying harder. That's not where that love is coming from. That kind of love can only come supernaturally. It comes from the God who is love, taking up residence in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And you can only receive the Holy Spirit when you trust and believe in what Jesus did for you, how he sacrificially gave up his life, dying on the cross for your sin. And this morning, if you have never truly experienced the love of God that is in Christ Jesus because of that sacrifice, I desperately want you to come to talk to me or to Pastor Ronald or Philip. Come and talk to one of us because we want you to know the love of God. The love that we've been singing about, the love that we've been preaching about, we want you to experience that. For the rest of us in here this morning, I would ask this question. Who's the person that's maybe in here this morning or maybe in our church this morning that you haven't been showing this kind of Christ-like love? In fact, if you had brought a friend, they might have looked and seen how you purposely avoided that person. Is there someone like that in our church this morning? Because God's calling us to love each other with the same kind of love that Jesus has shown us. It's that definition I read earlier, never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. That's the kind of love that we need to love each other with this morning. And this morning, I want to do one more thing. I'm going to give you a challenge. Maybe you saw this on the way in our lobby. It's just a little card, says love thy neighbor, kind of our message series. But on the back, there are three blanks. And underneath each of those blanks, it says brother slash sister in Christ. It says neighbor. And then the last one says someone hard to love. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab one of these cards on your way out. And then I want you to take some time just thinking about who these people are that God's putting on your heart that you need to make sure that you're right on this list. And then over this next month, I'm going to ask that you put this somewhere safe, so not everybody can see it, right? But a place where you will see it. And that every time you look at it, every time you turn to it, every time you see it on your mirror, every time, wherever it's at, that you'll stop and you will pray for these people. And you'll pray that God will move your heart to love them the way that he has loved you. That you'll be intentional about love. Because again, this is what we're called to. This is the definition of Christianity. Love. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we are so grateful for the love that was demonstrated on our behalf when Christ took on flesh, became a human, he lived and ultimately died on our behalf. We thank you that he didn't choose to not come, choose to neglect that, but instead he intentionally and purposely gave up his life for us. Father, would you help us specifically within this church to love one another deeply, to love with the same kind of love that we have been called into through Christ, that we would lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. God, that we would be intentional, we'd be thoughtful, we would think through the ways that we can be the hands and feet of you, Christ, to those in this church. Father, help us to love the way that you've loved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.